So, I wasn't here last week, but I've listened to her sermon on our website. And as Shirley mentioned last week, we're having a close look at this part of John's Gospel, giving us a full sandwich to chew on. So much of what we look at today, we have come across in these last weeks, but it is of real importance and value to us. To consider Jesus' words from all angles, and to consider the implications for us and the people that we live amongst. Bread is a staple for nourishment, unless you're celiac, gluten sensitive. I have family members who sadly suffer with this, and it's very difficult for them. But I must say, I used to love coming home from school and having bread and jam and a glass of milk while I watched Blue Peter. It was just absolutely yummy. I couldn't have enough of it. It was just so tasty. And you know, I'm sure you've heard as well, that people who are advising how to sell a house when you've got people coming round have recently baked bread. And apparently that smell just it really gets in you, and it really makes you feel at home and makes you feel welcome and gets your tummy rumbling. And so if ever you're having to sell your house, remember that hint. Throughout Europe, bread is familiar to all for breakfast, or at least one of the meals. You know, when you go along the paths in France and all the bakeries are open and you smell the bread and the coffee, just that wonderful sense of invitation, you're drawn to it, you can't resist. And in Brazil, many of the men certainly had bread with every meal. You could have chicken and rice, spaghetti, all the vegetables, but if you didn't have bread there by his plate, he'd be saying to whoever provided the meal, "Oh, could I just have some bread, please?" They had to have bread with every single meal. So let's just pray now as we consider the words we've read today. Lord God, we do thank you for your living word. And even though we're hearing familiar words, or maybe for some of us, new words and new images, which are hard to think about and to get our heads around, but we just pray, Father, that your Holy Spirit will speak to us, that will touch our lives, and that we'll know you speaking and pointing us what it means to know you and to follow you, and to be, have you involved in every aspect of our life. So we pray now as we study your word that you would reveal yourself to us in new ways. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In the Lord's Prayer, we say, "Give us our daily bread." But did you know that the idea and the image of bread has to be changed when it's being translated into a different language in other countries and cultures where they don't eat bread? Can you imagine in the middle, I don't know, somewhere where they just have rice or they just have bananas and fruit, you know, and to say, "Give us our daily bread," that would mean nothing to them. And so the translators have to think of very inventive ways and personal ways of translating God's word to make it relevant, to get the meaning across. And of course for us, "Give us our daily bread" means, "Lord, you know our needs, our daily needs. Please provide for all that I need today." And so it's just important to remember that for some people it might be, "Give us our daily rice or our daily banana." But the image is to emphasise daily nourishment, what we need for our well-being each day. Not just a weekly feast or a less frequent special occasion, but daily, every day. We've looked over the past weeks about Jesus providing for the crowd's needs through a miracle of the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. But Jesus also said that our physical needs aren't the only important factor for our well-being. In fact, far more important is your awareness of our need for God and his presence in our lives. God is aware of all our needs. He made us. He knows all the nourishments to the nth degree of what we need of our minerals and protein, carbohydrate. God knows all that we need. But he also knows and is aware of our tendency to get distracted and to follow our thirst and hunger for immediate satisfaction, and sometimes for things which are short-lasting or not even good for us. Jesus is teaching in the synagogue here, and he points back to the history in Exodus chapter 16. Shirley said last week about this, that the Jewish people were escaping from Egypt where they were being oppressed. And as they journeyed on, God provides for their needs. They keep complaining, saying, "Okay, God, you brought us out here, but we need to eat." And he provided for them the manna from heaven, as he's mentioned in this passage. And it wasn't just sackfuls. That will do you for a few days, and then we'll see what happens now after that. But it was sufficient for the daily needs. So it wasn't just providing for their needs for that day, but it was teaching them a lesson to be satisfied with what they had for that day. There wasn't too less and there wasn't too much. It was just the right amount for them for that day. If they tried to save some and put it away on one side, it went off and it wasn't able to be eaten the following day, because the Lord wanted to teach them to trust in him and not to have things that just put aside. Just in case God can't do it, I'll just do this. God wanted obedience and trust. So this living bread from heaven. Shirley also pointed us to Isaiah last week with promises from God about us being a people of peace. If we have that trust and confidence in God, we can know that peace and not be in anguish about decisions that we've got to make and things that we've got to do, but we can know that peace of resting in God. And this peace is so very much needed at this time, as we see the violence throughout Afghanistan, as we remember what's going on in Syria, and even the sad and horrific shooting in Plymouth in just these days. What state was that young man in Plymouth? What led him to do that? And the consequences for those who'd lost their lives and who've lost loved ones in that awful, awful situation of just about 6 minutes, it would just have that huge impact on that community. We need God's peace so much. We see man's greed for the immediate gratification, which is damaging our earth. It's so easy to just throw things away. God has asked us to be stewards of his earth, his beautiful planet. And each part that we play is so important for being God's steward. Not shouting about it from the rooftops, maybe, but just in considering what we buy, where we buy it from, and what we do with the things in our homes. Then we see in this reading that Jesus gets really explicit and talks of bread and flesh in the same sentence. Jesus was talking about his coming death on the cross, where his blood would be shed, showing the seriousness of sin. And Jesus' willing self-sacrifice for us. Jesus' death is the cost of our salvation, saving us from the consequences of our refusing to pay attention to God and acknowledge Jesus as sovereign of the universe and the Lord of our lives. In fact, the early Christians were thought of by some as cannibals, because they heard about them going to this Lord's feast of the body and blood of their Saviour, and they thought that they were actually eating a body. But the Eucharist, as we remember, we haven't been able to share the Eucharist here in church because of the pandemic. What we see here as we share in the Holy Communion, which we're hoping to do in September, all being well, in one form or another, we're hoping to be able to celebrate the Eucharist again. The Eucharist meaning thanksgiving. And as we remember the blood that Jesus shed for us, and we remember his body which he gave for us, when we eat of the bread and drink of the wine, it's not some ghastly cannibalistic event, but it's a very symbolic visual aid to help us to remember the depth of God's love for us and the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus for each one of us to take our place, to be able to reunite us with our holy God, because he took the burden, the punishment of all our wrongdoing. And so when we remember this in our memories, in our hearts, even though we can't do it in practice at the moment at this church, we can just remember what it means to be a follower of Jesus and all that he has done for us. And I have been privileged to be able to, over the past year or so, to take it to people's homes, because they may feel out of communion with the church, with not being able to be present with their brothers and sisters, but sharing in the body and the blood of Christ, the bread and the wine, they can be reminded of how precious they are to God, that Jesus gave his life for them. So I've taken it to people who are housebound and to people who are close to death, and they have just had that visual image and the tactile image of taking the bread and the wine to know how much they are precious to God. And we'll be able to do this soon. Not that it makes us a better Christian to be involved in this event. It doesn't affect our relationship with God, but it reminds us, it's a valuable time to share together of what it means to be part of God's family. In verse 35 of the passage that we read, in verse 35 of chapter 6, Jesus says, "Those who seek him will never go hungry or thirsty." Now we know that we know of people who are hungry. We have a food bank that we provide for, that we support. People do go hungry. But this is saying that if we know the Lord Jesus, we will have that satisfaction. We will have that peace. And as we said at the beginning, that Jesus in the Creed, that Jesus is the end of our searching. When we look for all sorts of things in our life to give us satisfaction and to give us a reason to be, Jesus is the answer. And as we come to him, we can just know that our thirst and our hunger for what it means to be human, why am I here and where am I going, all those answers are found in the Lord Jesus. And in verse 37, Jesus said that he'll never drive anyone away who is searching for him. Never drive anybody away. And we need to share that message with the people that we live amongst. There are people who feel, they may put on a brave front saying, I don't need religion, I don't need God. But we can just lovingly share with them what God means to us, what he does for us, who he is, and bit by bit chip through that coat of their self-sufficiency and let them know that they are precious and that they do need God and that God will never, ever turn them away. And in the passage that we've read, in the first verse, verse 51 and in 53, Jesus said, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you." So this is talking about the intimacy of really coming to the Lord, and not just as a theoretical understanding or a philosophical view or something good to do on a Sunday, but an actual integral part of our very being, that we need to ask the living God to be a part of our very selves, to dwell in us, Emmanuel, God with us, to dwell in us, to give us that confidence of being his children, and to know that yes, when we let him down, when we slip up, we can come to him in confidence, knowing that he'll forgive us. So he'll never drive us away. He leads us, in fact, to eternal life. It's not a temporary thing. It's not just being part of an annual club or just a fixed contract at work where you don't know what's going to happen when that contract comes to an end. This contract with God is for eternity, and we can have that peace and that confidence of knowing that we can rest in Him. Isn't that amazing? Just so wonderful to have that promise and that confidence. In John chapter 3, God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. Important word here, tiny word, in, believes in Him. It's not believes about Him, not thinking, oh yeah, Christianity is a good religion. You know, they do a good lot of works and, you know, they're nice people, sometimes. But believes in Jesus. And that in is a key word, because it's believing in the character and the person and the work of the Lord Jesus, of what He has done for us, and the consequences and what it involves, the implications for our lives as we follow Him. I read out at the beginning of the service a passage from John 15 about the vine. When we think of the vine and the intertwining branches and the leaves and the fruit, needs to be embedded into that stem to receive the nourishment, and that's the same for us. And it talks about, in verse 55 of our passage, talks about real drink, real food. And another translation talks about the true food and the true drink. Yesterday at work, the kitchen kindly did some bacon sandwiches for us just to keep us going at about 11 o'clock in the morning, when we were run ragged. But then later on, I actually must admit I had an egg sandwich. But my friends who had the bacon sandwich, they kept complaining the rest of the day because they were thirsty. The bacon had made them thirsty. So at the time, they'd had this bacon sandwich, fantastic. But then the rest of the day, oh, I'm so thirsty, I need another drink. So what seems really good, and I'm not knocking a bacon sandwich, but what seems good at the time can be really nourishing and tasty, but actually can have short-term effect and can have other consequences. But we know here, as we've read in Revelation 3, here I am, Jesus said. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they will with me. Eat with that person, commune, live with, be together with, not just visit, you know, sitting on the edge of the sofa and having a polite cup of tea, but living with and sharing meals with, being part of our lives. In 1 John chapter 2, as for you, see what you have learnt from the beginning, heard from the beginning, remains in you. If it does, you also will remain in the Son and in the Father. And this is what He promised us, eternal life. And in John chapter 3, and this is His command, to believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as He commanded us. The one who keeps God's commands lives in Him, and He in them. And this is how we know that He lives in us. We know it by the Spirit He gave us. And this is lovely. As I was reading this, it struck me that this is a lovely expression of the Trinity. Because the one who keeps God's commands lives in Him. And this is how we know He lives in us, by the Spirit He gave us, when we believe in the name of His Son. So there's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit involved in that statement. which is what we believe in. And in a moment, we're going to read the words of the creed of what we believe in. And in 1 John chapter 4, if anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. So we have this beautiful image of the cup and the plate, the bread and the wine, the flesh and the blood of the Lord Jesus, the depth of his love for us. And we have the image of the vine, of being dwelling into that stem to receive the water and the nourishment that we need. And we know that when we acknowledge that Jesus is the Son of God, he lives in us and we live in him. Let's not take this for granted. Let's really thank God for the privilege. And let's really ask him to live in our lives and to give us that peace that we need to share with those that we live amongst. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what wonderful words we've read this morning. Lord, they are familiar words and sometimes they can just wash over us. But Father, help us to really dig deep and to really consider all that the Lord Jesus has done for each one of us and the implications for us. And Father, help us to read these passages from your living word and to really digest them and to take them in and to really consider all that you are and all that you've done for us. So we thank you, Lord, for today. We thank you for our families and friends. We remember those who can't be with us today. But we just ask for your blessing on your words to us today. For your glory, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.